escape pod ready.
Launch escape pod.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1908, not a great day in aviation history, this was the first day that a man died in a plane crash, the sole passenger aboard the Wright Flyer. Pilot Orville Wright escaped the crash with his life. In 1976, NASA rolled out the first space shuttle, Enterprise. The Enterprise was finished out enough to take part in glide tests the following year, after which it would be used in engineering fit checks of the combined stack of shuttle, booster rockets, and fuel tank. NASA expected to refit the Enterprise for spaceflight before running the numbers and deciding it would be too costly. The Enterprise was named after Captain Kirk's ship in Star Trek after a massive letter-writing campaign from fans convinced President Gerald Ford to ask NASA to give the shuttle this name. Prior to that, NASA expected to name this shuttle the Constitution. For the record, Gene Roddenberry was dead set against naming a shuttle Enterprise. He wanted that name to be saved for the first manned starship. Born today in 1857, Russian rocket pioneer Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, one of the founding fathers of space exploration. Actor Roddy McDowall was born today in 1928. He was a familiar voice, though you really didn't see his face much, on the Planet of the Apes.
It's so senseless. Why?
Why?
I can make a guess. We've seen this kind of thing before. Another time, another place.
It almost makes me ashamed to be an ape.
Born today in 1930, Apollo astronauts Ed Mitchell and Thomas Stafford. Mitchell was the sixth man to walk on the moon, while Stafford flew around the moon on Apollo 10 and later commanded the American side of the Apollo-Soyuz International Docking Mission. Charles Martinet was born in 1955. He's the voice of Mario and quite a few other characters in the Super Mario games. Director Bryan Singer was born in 1965. In 1976, alongside the unveiling of the Space Shuttle Enterprise, Paramount Pictures announced that it was putting its own Enterprise back into service with the announcement of Star Trek the Movie, which would reunite most of the original cast. The euphoria of Trek fans was short-lived, however. Paramount canceled the movie after failing to find a workable script. In 1978, the Cylons attacked, and the crew of Battlestar Galactica barely escaped as ABC launched them into a series of expensive weekly adventures.
I have my shuttlecraft. Please.
Shuttlecraft?
I'm going down on the surface, Caprica.
Commander, that is out of the question. If the Cylon scanner should pick
you
up...
You will continue to rendezvous with the survivors of the fleet.
I'll take you and my fighter. You're the last surviving member of the Council, Father. If we should run into a Cylon attack ship, at least you'll have a chance.
I insist on that, Commander.
Very well.
But viewers sitting comfortably at home had to sit through a lengthy live news cut-in about the Camp David peace accords before they could get far into the war with the Cylons. In 1983, Imagic, the makers of popular video game cartridges for the Atari 2600, Intellivision, and ColecoVision game systems, withdrew its plans to sell stock and laid off a quarter of its employees, more victims of the video game industry's 1983 bust. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history, and you can pick up the logbook's original books and DVDs, along with hundreds of other titles, in the logbook.com store. Thanks for listening to the Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing procedure. The logbook.com escape pod was written and produced by Earl Green.